Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, check out this slip and slide bucket from Deep. Oh,
yes.
I mean, you got the half-court bucket.
Buckets.
It's been a good weekend for scoring.
I want to see Trae Young on the slip and slide, though. That's the next step. I'll have plenty of time.
I might go try that slip and slide. I want to see myself do
that. Look at that,
That look like fun.
Ooh.
That is impressive.
And we about the same size, so I know how to make it happen.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols here with our Warriors insider, Nick Friedell, NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins. You could be the king of the pool, too, Perk. Huh? It can happen for you. I believe in you.
Yeah.
I believe in you. It's
Rachel,
coming.
I'm telling you, I'm 8 days into my diet. I'm not playing no games.
He's got it. By the way, you two, well, not quite matching, but look very sharp.
Yeah,
did not get the memo, though, because it is Turtleneck Tuesday around the jump. We'll be talking about that later today. Coming up, we'll also be taking a look at the top 10 dunks of the season so far. This is so, so good. First, though, I sat down with Dwayne Wade last week in Chicago to discuss his upcoming documentary, D-Wade, Life Unexpected, which is going to premiere Sunday night on ESPN. And we touched on everything from fatherhood to the decision in 2010 to his upcoming three-day jersey retirement in Miami. Some great stuff in here. Take a look. So you've got this big show coming on ESPN, and in case anyone thinks it's not an actual intimate look at your life, that you weren't real, it opens with you in bed. That is how the documentary opens.
It does.
You were really honest in this documentary. Your family members are honest. You talk about being a kid and being in the room, watching your mom shoot up drugs.
When I was young, I think I understood that I'm going through this for this reason, right? So when my mom, being a young kid, 8 years old, you know, in the room watching your mom put needles in her arm and try to have conversations with your mother, and, you know, she's, like, fading out, you know, that was tough for an 8-year-old kid to try to make sense of. But I made sense of it and said, nothing would be harder than this.
Zyga, how are you?
Eight.
All right.
I'm 20.
And I'm 28. Next time we're going to look at this years and years from
he
now.
Gonna I'm going to be old.
Fear. I'm going to be like 38.
There is some great stuff in this documentary about you being a father, being a first-time father in college, being scared.
Yeah.
You talk about how you thought your life was over.
Yeah. I thought it was a wrap. I love Zaire. But you know, it was scary for me. And only thing I know is what people tell me, right? You know, you're young, you have a kid, you got to drop out of school, you got to get a job. I got to be the man of the family. But, you know, little did I know, my college coach, Marquette University, my family, they will all get behind me and support me.
It's been amazing to watch you evolve being a father over all these years. And you had another step this past week. Your 12-year-old came out and identified as Zaya.
What's the point of being on this earth if you're going to try to be someone you're not?
You know, I feel that Zaya is at the point now where, you know, Zaya deserves to walk around and be Zaya, mm-hmm. and not have to hide behind, you know, a Zion, the Zion character that people believe that she should be. She's not that. You know, she is this amazing, amazing young lady who I learn something from every day, and that I'm proud to be, you know, her father.
Gobbled up by Dwayne Wade. Here he comes with LeBron. Oh my! Again! A crusher!
There's also, of course, plenty about basketball in this documentary. You guys do focus on that time in 2010 when you, LeBron, Chris Bosh, free agents, and decided to come back to the Heat.
Yeah.
And there's a great part where you're talking about how you made this decision in a phone call on July 4th. You, Chris, and LeBron.
Yeah.
The decision wasn't until July 8th. And in those 4 days, you suddenly weren't really talking to LeBron. You didn't hear from him.
Yeah.
Did you really think going into that telecast that maybe he was going to say something else?
Listen, I tell no lies in my documentary. He did. You know, he kind of went to his cave and went radio silent and kind of had to deal with his own process. But, you know, we were a little nervous on the other side. You're like, wait, are we still in this?
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
And this fall, man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
So the actual footage that you will see in the documentary was real life footage of my excitement, my initial reaction of like, we got this, but I didn't know.
You're also very honest in the documentary about when you left the Heat, and you said to this day, look, Pat Riley and I have mend defenses, but I don't think he did the right thing there.
I would never believe Pat did the right thing when it came to me. And once again, everything happens for a reason. So glad I got an opportunity to play for my hometown team. But, you know, do I feel the way that it was handled would be something that I would never forget? Of course. But I learned from it. I've grown from it. I've moved on from it. And we all are hopefully better for it.
And you and the Heat reunited. You had that amazing last season. And now they are going to retire your jersey. Now, most guys have a jersey retirement ceremony. And it's a day. It's like 10 minutes on the court.
Well, we got your
own county. For you, Dwayne Wade.
When you got your own county, you can do different things.
For you, Dwayne Wade, they are doing a three-day jersey retirement.
Yeah, that's about right. Sound right. 3 days for number three. Three rings. I mean, it all goes. So.
What do you think it's going to feel like to be standing on that court and see your number go on the rafters?
You know what? It's going to be a special day for me. And I try not to get emotional a lot. Maybe a little bit in my documentary, you'll see some emotion. But I definitely know I'm going to be emotional because every moment from your career is going to come back, you know, fast into your mind. And for me, just a kid with a dream, man. I had a dream of playing a game of basketball. And now I can walk away and say, high school, jersey retired. College, jersey retired. NBA, jersey retired. You know what, kid? You did all right.
Thank you to Dwayne Wade for sitting down with me. Thank you to Bob Metellus, who did just an exceptional job shooting and directing that documentary. Again, you can catch that on ESPN on Sunday. And tomorrow on The Jump, we're going to have more exclusive stuff for you. Tune in for my one-on-one with Rookie of the Year favorite, Ja Morant of the Grizzlies. He has big plans, people. You are going to want to hear about it. All right. Getting back to Wade, Perk is someone who faced Wade, Bron, Bosch on those Heat teams. You and Celtics did battle with those Heatles. What do you remember about going head-to-head with them and also the impact off the court?
Well, listen, that Heat team was dangerous. I remember matching up with them in the NBA Finals when I was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they were dangerous. But, you know, the thing about them is that you could feel the chemistry. You could feel the familyness between those guys, the Mike Millers, the James Jones. But the biggest thing that I take away from the Heat, and I congratulate those guys, especially Bron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh, they set the bar and set a great example for players controlling their own destiny in free agency. And after that, they opened the floodgates for super teams. Mm-hmm.
What's interesting for me in watching that clip, Rach, is I'm looking at this from the Chicago perspective. I was around all those Bulls teams that just couldn't get over the hump against Miami. And in listening to Dwayne there were a lot of people back in 2010 that thought Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were coming to the Bulls. Mm-hmm. They thought that was going to happen and maybe they could get LeBron. But they thought those two pieces were coming their way. It didn't happen. And I still remember after that Eastern Conference Finals, that first one between the Bulls and Heat, I'm standing next to the late, great Craig Sager.
Right.
And Joakim Noah is at his locker, and he looks up and he goes, they're Hollywood as hell.
Oh, man,
they're
Hollywood
really,
as hell.
But they're really, really good, and I respect them. And I think in the end, that swagger that they carried with them throughout that run is something that will carry on for a long, long time.
You can't do the voice, though. They're Hollywood.
They're Hollywood as hell. But they're really, really good.
Yeah, you didn't want to face them, though. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. I mean, look, when you talk about Dwayne Wade specifically, we all know he is one of the greatest to ever lace them up. Perk, where would you rank him among shooting guards of all time?
Well, listen, I'm a huge fan of D. Wade, and he's in my top five. I actually got him at number four on my list. I have him behind Michael Jordan, Kobe, and I have Allen Iverson ahead of D. Wade. And I think
D. Wade.
I
liked you so much.
Yeah, and I think D. Wade wouldn't be mad at me for putting those guys ahead of him. But that's some elite company to join. But I have the utmost respect for D. Wade and what he's done for his basketball career on and off the court. But he ranked top five for me for sure.
Who's your number five in that list? We didn't make you go all the way to five?
I think he's still playing right now.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right.
They call him the beard down there.
Interesting. All right. Keep going.
But for me, it's MJ, Kobe, Dwayne Wade. not only the titles, but when Dwayne wanted to ramp it up defensively, especially early on in his career, mm-hmm. he could shut some people down and then take over the game offensively. So for all he did for the Heat over all those years, he's right behind MJ and Kobe.
I'm also a big believer that things like leadership, things like the way you relate to your teammates, what you do collectively to move mountains when you have to, when there has to be a guy who says, clear out, I'm doing it, or a guy that says, clear out, I'm making a decision. And those are not always the same thing, by the way.
Right.
He was always willing to step up and do it. After they lost that 2011 finals, the finals against Dallas, and there was so much noise around LeBron James, the two of them met up in the Bahamas with their wives, and they had a hard talk around a kitchen table. They've talked about this since, where they just said, Dwayne said, look, LeBron, you haven't been yourself. I'm willing to sacrifice a little more so you can really be the on-the-court alpha of this team. But make no mistake, when he did that, it showed him to be the alpha in the locker room of the team, and everybody involved in that organization knew it. They knew that LeBron was the guy on the floor, and Dwayne was the one who had empowered him to do so. And right. all those little decisions along the way, and I could point to a dozen of them in his career, is part of what made him elite.
Yeah, and also think about this. He took a back seat to Bron, but in big moments, they did call on Flash a lot, and
Absolutely.
He delivered. So, I mean, you know, kudos, man. But, you know, that team was great to watch, great to battle against. And like I said, they just set the bar for players nowadays in this generation, you know, to take control of their own destinies. I applaud them for that.
And I'm just waiting on the Hall of Fame speech now. We'll get there in a few years, no doubt. All right, coming up, reports indicating the Bulls are looking to shift their front office after this season. Bulls fans have been waiting for me to say that sentence for years, Nick Friedell, years.
Oh,
we'll discuss with our Bulls expert over here. First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2003. I keep saying it every day. Every day could be Kobe Bryant Day on Distant Replay. Here's one from 2003.
Hey, come here, y'all mean. You know what? Kobe probably had that already in his mind before the game. I'm going to catch him.
Of course he did.
For sure.
He said, oh, I'm sorry. I'm the best player in the league. We can take care of that for you.
When you lean, that's something special.
He didn't even look back that much. He knew. He knew. He knew.
The Jump is brought to you by Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
No games last night, so no make this. Instead, we're just running it back. The top 10 dunks of the season so far. Number 10. Anthony Davis on Aaron Baines.
Ooh.
AD catching the lob and bodying Baines there.
Rachel, that's number 10?
That's number 10, Kendrick.
Oh. This must be a hell of a list. Ooh. That one was pretty nice.
Right?
My God.
Woo.
That was pretty nice.
Number 9.
Ooh.
We got Kawhi. Look at this. Kawhi on Theus. But just here we go. Oh. He's on Daniel Tice. I don't know. Reggie Theus is in my mind.
Oh, okay.
Rush Street Reggie.
Celtics Clippers. Kawhi drives punching at home.
Oh, that's just, I mean, he's so aggressive.
Whew.
The thing about Kawhi is I feel like he can do that whenever he wants. When he decides to get there.
Yes, he can.
He can dominate.
But part completely. Of the magic is that he only decides in certain moments. And so far, they've been good moments. Tsunami Poppy checking in at number 8 on JaVale McGee back at Staples. Watch Kelly Oubre.
He snuck JaVale. JaVale didn't think he was going to dunk that, and he just...
And then he gave that look at the end. Oh, yeah.
Oubre been catching a lot of bodies, though.
Did you see under the net after that? Watch him under the net.
He knew. Ooh. He knew.
Ooh.
Number 7, Jaylen Brown on LeBron James. By the way, when you're going over the king, two hands, ladies and gentlemen, two hands.
That was pretty impressive.
That was pretty nice.
I don't know, Rachel. I don't know if that was better than the number 10.
That's just a name brand, though. That's over LeBron. That's like Tatum a year or two ago.
Yeah, remember?
Okay.
Remember when
he was
rookie?
That's what that is.
Because it happened on Braun.
Yeah, come on.
But Jaylen Brown's one of my favorite players, so.
You'll take it. You'll take the positioning. Number 6, Ja Morant on Baines.
Ooh.
All right, and look. As Brian Windhorst would say, we don't shame people for playing defense, but maybe for getting dunked on. Jai getting him on a switch, though. Yeah, you cannot blame Aaron Baines on this one.
Nah, he's been having a rough year for us with dunk-ons, man. It's not right. Where's the help, though?
Jai is so good, though, guys.
He is.
We could do his makes and his misses, and that could be
that
a total.
That would still be a top 10. Yeah. Number 5, Jared Allen of Mike Muscala. Take a look here. Now, Jared's normally the blocker, but no, he's a dunker. Full Statue of Liberty there.
That was off the drop.
But again, full credit to Muscala for trying.
That was off the drop step, man. That was one step and went up from the
nice dice. Pass, by the way.
But so many guys would be like, I'm not even taking that jump. I mean, credit to anybody. Baines has been in there a couple times. You're trying. I appreciate that.
Sekou Doumbouya over Tristan Thompson. Thompson trying to take the charge.
Oh,
not going well for
Tristan.
Come on,
Double T.
That's the highlight of the season right there for the Pistons.
Come on, nah. You know what? I played with Double T for 2 years, and he never tried to take a charge. That's what happens when you do stuff you don't normally do, Double T. Go up there and try to block you.
Getting a little desperate over there, we're going to tell you. All right, LeBron on the other side of this countdown now on Bielitz, Kings Lakers. LeBron can still get it done, friend.
Oh!
Sorry, Nemanja.
King.
He didn't really even go. He was just like, okay, I'm going to stand here like this because LeBron's barreling down.
Is he 35?
Oh, he is 35 years old.
LeBron, the fact that he can still get up and do that at times.
I'm jealous.
Kendrick, are you 35 yet?
Yeah, I am 35.
Can you do that?
No, I couldn't do that when I was 25, Rachel.
Derrick Jones Jr., your slam dunk contest champ on Jonas Valanciunas. Take a look.
Oh,
a precursor. A precursor to what was coming.
I don't think we understand how hard that is. Catch off of one step and go up like that.
Above the net and then go,
And that's a big boy he went
down.
Through. That was nasty.
Aaron Gordon might have won or should have won the dunk contest, but Derrick Jones Jr. is the best dunker in the league.
DeMar DeRozan gets the number one spot on Chris Boucher. DeRozan back in Toronto. Waits it. By packing it in over the youngster. Look at that. They had to hide their eyes. They had to hide their eyes.
Came down with a little wrestling move and pinned them to the ground.
How good did that feel for DeMar DeRozan in that moment there?
Like,
hello.
I mean,
and then they look up and they say, well, we still have our ring.
Also,
that banner up there. But good for DeMar for getting that at least.
Yes. I believe that if DeMar had been on that team, it's not like DeMar needed to leave for them to win a title. They needed to get Kawhi to win a title, and that's what I'm saying. It's not his fault. Okay.
It's not his
Welcome back
Kawhi
to the
guy's
show.
Pretty good, Rich.
Yes, I'm just saying. It was the addition, not the subtraction.
Right.
DeMar wasn't like a locker room cancer.
No, not at all.
Just get off my slippery slope while I'm still on it. Welcome to the jump. There's no basketball being played out there. But come on, come in, hang out with us, because there is drama surrounding the Bulls. As first reported by the Chicago Sun-Times, team president Michael Reinsdorf looking to change up the Gar-Pax duo in the front office. Gar Foreman, John Paxson have been at the helm since 2009, and the process of reviewing potential candidates has reportedly already begun. Bulls fans, of course, guys, can recite lists, reams of complaints. But the latest, there was an uproar just earlier this month. Security started throwing people out who had fire Gar Pax on jerseys or shirts or something, which was considered sort of it's not a good look. And it was
Rach, we heard the chants on the show in Chicago.
Right, we're doing a show at All-Star Game in Chicago that frankly had nothing to do with the Chicago Bulls. And what did we hear? Fire Gar Pax.
Wow.
To me, though, this is so much deeper than just Gar and Pax. And it's long past the point where there needs to be new voices. But so much of this, to me, is on Mike Reinsdorf, who's running the day-to-day show. I mean, he signed off on Jabari Parker getting $20 million. He signed off on Dwayne Wade getting 2 years for almost $50 million. He signed off on Jim Boylan being the coach. And he signed off on Jordan Bell's pick getting traded for $3.5 million. I mean, these are financial decisions for a team that's worth close to $4 billion at this point. And he's the guy who needs to hire somebody desperately and just get out of the way. You need to allow the basketball people to do their job. And Gar and Pax have had their run. They want to win very badly. Nobody's ever questioned that. They just haven't made a lot of very good decisions in the last few years. It's time for change. It's time to hire somebody who is going to have a fresh voice and new ideas on how to run that, and even more rage. Having watched the way the Warriors operate the last year and a half and seen the money they spend on all areas of that team, not just on the floor, but in every aspect of that organization, and to know that the Bulls do not have that reputation around the league, and there are former players who are happy with the organization. There are a lot of former players who are not happy with the organization. To see those differences, this is a team that needs a image rehabilitation in the worst way. And in order to do that, you hire one person to have one voice, and you let that person do their work.
You know what? I'm going to give credit and say I credit the NBA for this, and this is why. The All-Star weekend was that epic that the Chicago Bulls were like, hold on. This was great for the city. You could feel the energy. We got to reevaluate this. We got to get basketball back to where it needs to be in this United Center and in the city of Chicago. So I give a lot of credit to All-Star weekend because I think that you know, pumped the blood, had the blood flowing. You know, where they was like, hold on, we need to make a change here. We need to get things back on course.
Look, we already know what a good basketball city Chicago is, not just in terms of actual basketball city and the talent that it has produced, but then also when you had a dynasty there, you had the whole country feeling like they were America's mm-hmm. team. It is a place people want to go and visit anyway, so people can come see the Bulls. It is a market that has, in some ways, a lot of the advantages of some of the coastal markets that we talk about. It really should be almost lumped in with them despite geography. And yet, they really haven't had their foot on the gas in that way. And I like those two guys personally, by the way. You don't have to be a bad person not to have been able to do a good enough job, and they've had a good enough run. That I certainly am curious to see who they bring in, and I hope it is someone. You've mentioned a couple names on the show before, Perk, guys who came out of Oklahoma City who could mm-hmm. be really good. I just think that there are some elite basketball minds operating, and it would be great to get one of those.
Rach, the name
Chicago
to keep an eye on to me, Mark Bartlestein.
That's interesting.
He is well-respected all throughout the league as an agent. He's based in the Chicago area.
Well, that
he knows
would certainly be going the direction,
well.
The other direction, and that's the direction
fans,
that the Knicks have gone in,
absolutely.
The Warriors have
a
gone in,
teams.
The Lakers have gone in. They want an agent in there, and we'll see if they go that way. Coming up after the break, good little news nugget there, Nick. We're going to talk about KG's new documentary. He touches on players going from high school to the pros. We are going to break that down. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. How great is Zion's NBA ceiling? Does he have a ceiling? Is the ceiling the roof? Over on ESPN Plus, Kevin Pelton and Mike Schmitz are going to delve in. Go check it out. The NBA players have a few more days off for the All-Star break, but then, my friends, the playoff push starts, and these teams are in the thick of it. Our Friday night doubleheader starts in Oklahoma City with Nuggets Thunder, and then it's Pelican Blazers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app. All right, check out this clip, my friends, courtesy of Showtime Basketball.
What is it, 25 years? This comes full circle, and the All-Star game is in Chicago this year. When I got to the game, I had all this Chicago swag, all this confidence that I had built up from playing in the city that I carry with me. Let's go down to the hill where they got the really nice gym. We get in there, Mike Jordan in there. Scottie Pippen was in there. I'm like, we watched him play a couple games, and all of a sudden, security, doom, doom, doom. Hey, you, come here. And I was like, me? It's like, yeah, big fella. And I was like, y'all throw my shoes. I jump in, I tie my joints up, and then Jordan was like, let's go. So we go. I just remember Pippen saying that I was too young to be out here. I call for it. Mike threw it, boom, and I launched my boom! I don't know what you think this is, and I hear somebody go, I see you, Lord, okay, I see you. And it was Isaiah Thomas. I just saw you play Scottie Pippen. Boy, you can play in the league right now. And when he said that, dog, the world stopped. I said, Zeke, what you say? He said, boy, do you know you can go to the league from high school? I said, nah. I like to think in 95, the decision to come out of high school and make that an option. I was R&D for a lot of people. Man, what's it like? What's it like? What's it like? Met with Steph for dinner. Met Kobe in Philly. Man, what's it like? I thought I represented the young wave. I just started seeing the narrative change. He's coming from Tupac, Biggie, Headman, Do-Rags. And all this was new. All this was different. All this was a shift in the matrix. And I know it all started with that decision.
Welcome back to The Jump. That was a look at Kevin Garnett's new doc from Showtime coming later this year. There's more online. The part online is a little too R-rated for ESPN, so we'll just say you can go see that yourself. Perk, your friend Kevin Garnett, of course, made the jump from high school to the NBA in 1995. Kobe Bryant did it the next year. Both Hall of Fame finalists. We expect them both to go in this fall. The NBA eligibility rules changed in 2006, created one and done. Adam Silver has said he wants to end that as early as 2022. The union is theoretically on board, but there's still a lot of things they're trying to work out. Perk, you were drafted right out of high school, 2003. What is your current stance on players going straight from high school to the NBA?
It needs to be a rule. If you're, it's just like any other career. If you're ready to do the job, it don't matter your age or whatever, you're ready to do the job. Nothing prepares you for the NBA like the NBA. College don't get you prepared. Oh, is that some Perk highlights right there? I didn't know y'all was going to pull them up.
Look at young Perk.
But listen. Nothing prepares you like the NBA, being in the NBA, because it gets you right. And, you know, I just think if you're ready, hey, come on out. Because I know a kid right now. I know a kid right now that's 15 years old. That's a sophomore by the name of Imani Bates. And if he wanted to declare for the draft this summer, he would be a lottery pick, hands down. So, you know, that one and done rule, I think is great for college, but it's not great for the player.
The league is in a much better place now to handle kids who come into the draft who may not make it right away because of the G League. And that was something that wasn't in place for you guys initially when everybody was coming in. It was kind of like, all right, you either make it in the league or you just go bye-bye. And some kids need that maturity. They need that period. They need that time to grow a little bit more into their bodies, into the lifestyle of the league. And I think the G League is allowing the NBA to feel more comfortable about making this a rule again, like Perk said, but it's time. When you talk to players, it's long past the point where they know the kids need to be able to come in right away from high school and make that decision for themselves.
I completely agree that the G League is going to change the game, really, for guys who can't quite think they can make it, can't quite make it. The NBA has also instituted over these recent years guys getting to be able to be evaluated by agents without and coaching staffs without having to give up their eligibility. So that has helped a little bit with guys more realistic. Can I make it in the league? Can I not make it in the league? But I would say this. I do think if they get rid of one and done, and you guys know I'm no fan of the NCAA taking money that I think belongs to the players, I do think that the NBA needs to put in a pretty strict support structure. It can't just be, yeah, we have programs available. I don't think that will be enough. I think if you were coming straight from high school, I would like to see some sort of mandatory check-ins. Mandatory check-ins with a financial counselor. Mandatory check-ins with a sports psychiatrist, right? Mandatory check-ins with someone who is going to make sure that life and that adjustment from being a kid. I mean, gosh, some of these high school seniors are 17.
Yes.
Being a child. Yeah. Going into the NBA, I sat down with Zion Williamson this week. He's the fourth youngest player in the NBA. He is 19.
Right.
And he did have that year of college at Duke to sort of be a stepping stone and prepare him for this adult world. But especially the high-profile players we're talking about, right? The guys who everyone would be so excited to come straight to high school. Everyone wants a piece of you. And it is much more than it was when Kevin Garnett came into the league. There's social media. There's a million blogs. There's a million people who could come up to you and say, oh, I'm gonna do it for you, kid.
Right.
And I just would like to see the NBA take on, but the NBA takes on a lot of things, but out of the goodness of wanting people to succeed, I would like them to take that on and put in a mandatory structure in place to get them through that first year.
And, Rachel, that's a great point because, listen, I was a country kid from Beaumont, Texas. At the age of 18. And I was so excited, I drove to Boston. I didn't even know nothing about shipping a car. I drove 30 hours to Boston. And when I got to Boston, it was like, oh, man, I'm in the apartment. Next thing I know, the laundry basket is filling up. And I had to do a memory check that I didn't even know how to wash clothes.
Right.
Like, my grandparents was taking care of me at the time. I didn't even know how to wash clothes, so I was like, wow. Going to the grocery store, I'm thinking, let me get waters and food and snacks. No toilet paper. No paper towels. It's just the little things, you know. And then, you're right. And not only the NBA, but the Players Association. I think we could all do a great job as former players as you know, having more structure and getting people in place to guide these young guys for success. Because I seen a lot of guys that came into the league and was one and done just because they didn't have the right guidance. And much credit to LeBron James, because one thing about him, people could say what they want, but he surrounded himself with a great group of guys that was not yes men. Mm-hmm. Randy, Rich Paul, and Mav, you know, hey, they'll sit down and argue with LeBron. Yeah. I seen it. They will argue with and tell LeBron, hey, whatever, you can get mad, but that's what you need. Yep. You need people to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, you're right. The NBA Players Association, the NBA, they have great programs now. I would just like to see it extend beyond, hey, this is what we have available
to you. Hire some former players
with actual rules in terms of making sure that these guys go through their first, maybe even 2 years, with these kinds of mandatory check-ins to make sure that everyone succeeds, which is what we want. Mm-hmm. All right, during All-Star Weekend, Kevin Garnett was also on the All the Smoke podcast with Matt Barnes and Stephen Jackson. If you have not checked that out on Showtime, you have to. It's so great every week. And Perk, this week, your name came up. Take a listen.
I had new Perk. I had played against Perk. Perk and I used to play, like, we used to bang. I mean, like, really have issues with each other to where I had to ask Pete, like, yo, you know, we coming over here. Perk going to be okay? Because, man, you don't know. Like, when we go at it, we really.
About to fight.
Kendrick, who? Nobody. Nobody. I gave him 12, like, real quick. I better get this nobody off me out here. Who you talking to? I ain't know nobody. Yeah. Yeah. What you want to do, man? You ain't said nothing. What you want to do? I'm ball mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's fine all day.
Yeah.
How accurate is his impression of you?
It's so accurate. I'm leaving this show. I'm driving down to the valet ticket. I'm coming to see you. But you know what the crazy thing about it, real quick, is that KG and I hated each other when we played against each other. But it was like the first practice, we instantly clicked. And now we got a brotherhood that is, like, is crazy.
I mean, you are super close to this day. You see him all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Hey, KG, I'm coming to the Valley, man. Yeah, that's cap. You didn't give me 12 straight buckets. Don't be lying to the people now.
That will continue after the show. But still on the show coming up, the Rockets are making more roster moves. They are, really. They're going all in on small ball. We will discuss if they are legit title contenders. That's coming up next. First, though, here is another little outtake from my conversation with Dwayne Wade. This is amazing.
I think they have to start on a documentary part two. Like, for example, you are reviving your rap career. For people who don't know, you were in a very important, seminal Chicago rap group when you were 9 years old, 10 years old, Real Fresh, I believe you and your friends called yourselves. And now you're going to be featured on a Rick Ross track, right?
Yes.
That's legit. You are actually going to be in a rap video.
So that Real Fresh group, mm-hmm. that was a group that was put together by my father, mm-hmm. because my father, as I talk about in the documentary, was like Joe Jackson. Mm-hmm. He was going to make something out of one of these kids in his house. So I did have those chops when I was young. And then I got an opportunity in this last year. Sitting down with Rick Ross, we worked on a shoe collab with my shoe brand, Li Ning, and he was like, yo, D, I want you to hop on a track with me. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, we got...
Are you any good?
I don't know. I guess everybody gonna see when it comes out.
Does Dame Lillard have to be worried?
No.
Not good like that.
I'm not a real artist at all. I'm just, you know. I think what got me into it was, you know, watching all the footage of Kobe. Everything that Kobe did. And I seen a video he did with Brian McKnight. Mm-hmm. And for me, as someone who, you know, was a fan of his, I got a chance to see him in so many different facets of life by watching it. And I was like, you know what? I do want to do things that is out of the box.
Yeah.
And things that people can laugh about later and talk about later and just have memories and moments. So.
And we're not going to laugh at you later. We're going to laugh at you right now.
Or that. Laugh at me now. I'm having fun.
The Rockets going all in on super small ball and adding depth at the wing position. ESPN's Woj and Tim McMahon report Houston will be signing Jeff Green and Damari Carroll to fill out the roster for their playoff push. So Russell Westbrook, James Harden. This is how they're taking the news. They are the new GQ cover boys. They are featured in an interview with the magazine. This is a photo of the cover, but I really recommend you look through the internet for all the photos
of the Brodies.
because there's really some spectacular pictures in there. In the interview, they were asked, what pieces, if any, are you guys missing before you can win a championship? Harden said, we've got everything. Westbrook said, yeah, we're good. So, all right, they're also getting Damari Carroll and Jeff Green since that interview. But do you think they're good, Perk? Do you think that they have enough to win a championship?
Listen, I'm going to say this. I've been very critical of Mike D'Antoni and Daryl Morey, but they are on to something. I'm telling you, they are on to something. I went to two games. I live in Houston, Texas. I went to the Utah Jazz game that they should have won. I went to the
Boston. And that was without Russ, right? The Utah Jazz game was without Russ?
No, it was with Russ.
Okay.
I went to the last game that they played before the All-Star break when they played a tough Boston Celtics team. And I wanted to see it. And what they're doing over there offensively is brilliant. They're spacing the court, and they're saying, hey, we have two former MVPs in their prime. Stop them. And they can't. James Harden went for 40, and Russell Westbrook went for 38. And guess what? Russell Westbrook now has 270 points in the paint in his last 11 games. The last person to do that was Shaquille O'Neal. And I was more impressed by their defensive energy, by the way. I'm telling you, they're playing with a different type of swag. You could feel the energy. At first, I was like, I don't know, but it's dangerous because it's like, okay, stop James or Russ. You can't stop.
So you think they're title contenders?
I wouldn't be surprised if they make it to the finals. I would not. I'm telling you, the way these two guys are playing, that you got two guys that are capable of giving you a 40-piece wing dinner, Rachel. Spicy. I said it before, but I'm not even playing. A 40-piece wing dinner, that's dangerous.
I'll believe it when we see it. We're used to seeing the Rockets make a lot of headlines, guys, in February and March. Not so much in May and June. And this team historically has been unbelievable offensively. They're fun to watch. You watch them running up and down the floor, and what Perk is saying, with Harden and Westbrook playing like this, certainly there's a chance. But can you maintain it for the next 3-4 months? And that's what I've never believed with Houston. Every time when they've been given the chance over the last few years, and it was Golden State these last couple years, it's going to be somebody new now. They've gotten to that point, and they haven't been able to cross it.
Hold on, Nick. Let's not act like they wasn't a Chris Paul hamstring away from knocking out Golden State.
I'm going to keep saying
it. What about Andre Iguodala being
out, then all of a sudden you replace him with a Russell Westbrook? Go ahead, Rachel. I'm sorry.
No. I was all in on the hamstring away for an entire season. I kept saying the same thing. A hamstring away.
And then what happened,
Rachel? Until they got into the playoffs in the second round against the Golden State Warriors, and Kevin Durant got hurt. And in the next, not only did they not win that game, in the next game, Steph Curry had this many points, this many in the first half, and they still couldn't win at home and wrap the series.
Yeah, but the chemistry was gone.
And I am done with a hamstring away. Well, that is my point. So I was done with a hamstring away. I was, frankly, out on what they were doing the first few months of the season, and so were they, since they were losing more games than they wanted to and obviously felt they needed some tinkering. I really like this. I'm very interested to see what happens. I hope that they don't run and get out of gas by the playoffs, and I'm thrilled to see a little bit more competition going on in the Western Conference. Up next, Giannis Antetokounmpo says he might want to play with his brothers down the line. Wait until you hear the potential destination cities he named. This did not come from the media. It came from Giannis. First, though, it's time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from this date in 2003, Tracy McGrady. Oh, yeah. He could do stuff like this.
T-Mac.
McGrady driving on Lynch.
Oh, yes.
People forget.
Shout out to David Steele. He's been in Orlando forever.
Was.
Awesome.
I don't know, two scoring titles.
He was a walking puck.
Look at him.
Why did they have to get rid of
Doc? Look where he physically is when he goes back.
Andrew DeClerc.
Kendrick, they're not talking about you. Our next NBA Saturday primetime game is this weekend. Giannis and the Bucks hosting Joel Embiid and the Sixers. The Jump is your pregame show on ABC. We're at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and you can also always watch on the ESPN app from anywhere. All right, guys, crunch time here on The Jump. George's Anthony Edwards has moved up to the top spot in the latest ESPN mock draft. Perk, what do you think of him?
He has the physique for today's NBA. I think he's NBA ready. In my opinion, and I wouldn't be surprised if he do go number one. But let's not forget about that kid from Memphis now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he hasn't been relevant because he's not playing.
Yep.
James Wiseman.
James Wiseman got NCAA'd. That's how I'm going to say it. Yeah, no, look, no one I know watches more college ball than you, Perk, so when you say look for him, I'm looking for
him. Oh, he's legit.
There we go. Giannis Antetokounmpo was held scoreless 0-for-2 from the field in the fourth quarter of the All-Star game. Now, I want to say he showed out on defense in that quarter. He was active, he was blocking, he was stealing. But the fact that he couldn't score, did Team LeBron reveal any kind of blueprint for guarding Giannis for Bucks opponents?
Not that we don't already know, Rach. This team is only going to go as far as he takes them. And the question always with the Bucks is, who steps up to help when team after team in the playoffs is running body after body on him and allowing him to take long-distance shots? Mm-hmm. If he makes those, Milwaukee's set. But they need somebody else to step up night to night and help him out.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they guarded him one-on-one. I think they did a great job of manning up and guarded him one-on-one.
Well, you did have 5 of the 10 best players in the world to do that. That's a little bit more.
That's what happened in Team LeBron was LeBron.
Speaking of Giannis, he made a comment during All-Star Weekend that is surely getting the attention of NBA fans in Milwaukee and Los Angeles. Here's what he told USA Today Sports about playing with all his brothers. He said, quote, I think that would be amazing. I'm 100% sure my mom would love that. But if we could team up on a team wherever, Milwaukee, LA, that would be awesome. So I want to say here, before everybody puts full-scale panic in their hearts and voices, he has a brother who already plays in LA for the Lakers. He has a brother who is also in the Bucks organization, all right? So that is why those are the two cities that were on his lips. But the fact that he even said that, Perk, what do you make of that?
I think, you know, Giannis is going to play well. He's going to do all he can for the Milwaukee Bucks. But I think he's leaving Milwaukee when his time is up because I think, you know, he's going to go to a bigger market. And sometimes as a player, we got to understand this is a job in a business. You got to be selfish.
Even if they win a title, Perk.
You got to be selfish.
Well, look, Kawhi Leonard did, and we'd never seen anyone do that before, but I think it is different. Kawhi was just there as a one-year rental. I think if Giannis wins a title in Milwaukee, he is staying in Milwaukee. I think even they make the finals, he might say, okay, I'm not going to sign a Supermax right now, but I do think I'm staying. We'll find out.
I said what
I
said.
Thank you, guys. The jump's back at 3 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. We'll see you then.